top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.
Good afternoon. This is the midday news for today, Thursday, April 11th. 2024.
Q, top of the hour news.
I am Richie Farrell. In the headlines, retired police superintendent, ERC member, and United Workers Party General Secretary Nicholas George. He says electoral reform is the second most crucial legislation for governing a country and upholding democracy. In a gesture of intra-regional cooperation, the Ministry and Department of Agriculture on Nevis has donated 28 plants to Anguilla for its Plant a Tree Day initiative on April 20th, 2024.
Local, regional, and global.
And Vietnamese billionaire Miss Trong Mai Lan
95.
Has been sentenced to death
on cue
for $44 billion fraud in the most spectacular trial ever held in Vietnam in one of the greatest bank frauds that the world has ever seen. The news.
Cue.
Brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited.
It happens.
More details.
It happens. Local.
Up next.
National and global. Only on Q95. The big station. Q95.
You've been putting off. Do it today with a loan of up to $20,000 from Quartz Ready Cash. No collateral needed. Flexible payment terms and fast approval. All you need is your ID, proof of address, job letter, payslip, and two references. Visit your nearest Quartz or Ready Cash location today or apply online at Quartz.com. Why wait? Get it done today at Quartz Ready Cash. We are ready when you are.
Conditions apply.
First up in the news, General Secretary of the United Workers Party, ERC member and retired police superintendent Nicholas George emphasizes that electoral reform ranks as the second most crucial legislation for effective governance and democratic sustainability, with the Constitution holding the utmost importance. He notes that during the drafting of legislation, a delegation comprising government, opposition, and civil society representatives traveled to the United Kingdom for negotiations. George points out that the current legislation has yet to be amended to align with Dominica's reality.
The electoral reform is the second most important beast of legislation for the governance of a country to sustain democracy. The first one is the Constitution. Now, when the Constitution was being prepared, there was a delegation that comprised the government and opposition and civil society. And they traveled all the way to London to negotiate that. That constitution has not been amended since. Nobody has too much trouble with it. We have some, but we've managed to survive with it. The next one is the electoral reform legislation. And we must remember that notwithstanding that the Prime Minister has given a timeline, it is not possible, it is impossible for us to have legislation, the electoral reform legislation, as the Prime Minister is talking, before June of this year in Parliament. It's not possible. There are about six bits of legislation. There's the House of Assembly Act, and there is the electoral, the Registration of Electors Act. There's a new piece of legislation to do with the composition of the management of the Electoral Commission, and there are regulations to each of those acts. All have to be considered.
Nicholas George highlighted that the Prime Minister has made it abundantly clear that no one will hinder him from enacting the legislation this time, and he will not tolerate any opposition or delay regarding the legislation.
To issue, and like you said, to issue us with the legislation by when? By Friday? He's issuing us the legislation by Friday, and the 15th of May, he's going to go to Parliament and pass six bits of legislation upon the pain of and peril of death, likely, to citizens of Dominica. Because that is what the Prime Minister has done. The Prime Minister has illustrated and said clearly that nobody will prevent him from passing the legislation this time. And I will not be tolerating foolishness from anyone when I take this, because I want the legislation, I'm going to have it, and I'm going to have it at the pain of anybody trying to oppose it. And I will not tolerate it. Question I have for the Prime Minister is, what is his threshold of that pain? Mr. Prime Minister Roosevelt Scarrett, what is your threshold? If you know that the legislation you're going to bring is going to see opposition, it's not going to get total agreement, and there is an expectation that there might be protest, is your threshold going to be the death of one person, two, three, four? How many Dominicans would you think that you can kill or cause their death to ensure that you have the legislation passed the way you want it to pass?
You've just heard statements from Nicholas George, ERC member, retired police superintendent and general secretary of the United Workers Party. Host of Q95's Global View on Q show, Sheridan G. Gregoire, is curious about the apparent reluctance of the DLP regime to discuss or acknowledge the need for campaign finance reform as a crucial part of Dominica's electoral reform process. Mr. Gregoire says any country that is serious about electoral reform has passed the necessary laws for campaign finance regulation for elections in their country. This major aspect of electoral reform stops corruption in its tracks for any existing and or potential political parties seeking to join the political system.
Remember, the Prime Minister told us recently it's only a select few. I think it's about five different areas that they're proposing to tackle at this time. And they will not tackle anything that has constitutional implications. But certainly, Bernard didn't really talk about it. I don't know what, as you're going to make your contribution, I don't know whether you want to express any concern about the fact that whether or not they might want to tackle the whole question of campaign finance reform. Because it seems to me not only have they been depending on the overseas votes to come in, to give them that winning legacy, but they've also been depending on raising a lot of money from very opaque sources that nobody knows about because they don't report on where the money is coming from. But it seems to me there's been a lot of money in those elections, those past few elections. I don't know whether you have some concerns that they may not even want to consider electoral campaign finance reform.
Host of Q95's Global View on Q show, Sheridan G. Gregoire. Lead singer for the Swinging Stars band, Tasha P. Peltier, advises all Dominicans to show up in numbers for this year's Jazz and Creole Festival, scheduled for May 5th, 2024. Tasha P. was speaking at the DDA's conference room on Wednesday and expressed gratitude on behalf of Swinging Stars, who will be performing on the main stage for that festival. She says the band will deliver an electrifying performance for the audience.
It is our pleasure to say thank you to the DFC for once again adding us to your list of performances for the Jazz and Creole event, which is one of the biggest events we have here nationally in Dominica, and we are privileged to be a part of it as well. As you know, as a custom, we have been a part of the Jazz and Creole family for a while, and we look forward to giving you all a repertoire that you may not have expected. I mean, Jazz and Creole doesn't, you know, it has a nice little mix and fusion to it. So Swinging Stars is always ready to deliver. We are practicing. I don't use a big word like we're exhausted practicing, but we are practicing to ensure that our repertoire is something that can be relatable to everybody. The young, the not so young, and the not so young young. So we are very excited. We are looking forward to what we're gonna be wearing because, you know, we like to pop with the fashion. Last year we had our bushy shirts. I say bushy because it looked like grass to me. But we're taking it very seriously, and we're hoping that all patrons come out to support Jazz and Creole as usual. We are looking forward to the fashion statements that are going to be made. We are looking forward to the type of music that's going to be played. We're looking forward to the other artists and the other musicians and the other bands that are going to be performing. But most importantly, we're looking forward to our performance for you guys coming soon. So buy your tickets, go to the Fringe events. There's so many events. I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to keep up, but I'm happy that at least there's something for everybody.
Lead singer for the Swinging Stars band, Tasha P. Peltier. This is Q95 News. Business resilient coach Jillian LaRocque examined the crucial role of micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs, in Dominica's economy and their profound impact on its people. LaRocque noted the various interpretations of MSME definitions, often influenced by geographic factors, but generally involving businesses with fewer than 50 employees. She emphasized ongoing efforts to precisely define Dominica's MSME sector within this framework. LaRoque's analysis highlights the significance of MSMEs in driving economic activity and promoting entrepreneurship throughout Dominica. She spoke on the Roots Connection program last evening.
Micro, small, and medium enterprises are those. The definition really varies based on where you are. But sometimes it's seen as those businesses with less than 50 employees. In Dominica, we were trying to determine what we would use to gauge or define our country. And what I remember last was micro would be businesses that employ up to 10 employees. Small enterprises have a workforce of 10 to 50 employees, and medium size about 50 to 200. So in terms of for our classification, this has been where we are. And in terms of the role, for me personally, a micro business owner takes the bull by the horn and creates their own employment opportunity. You determine that you are going to create your job. It may be for various reasons, passion you may have to be able to achieve something, to impact people in a particular way. And it may be that you were not getting someone else to hire you, so you decided to create your own employment. But in this sector, we have those who would employ people along the way.
Ms. LaRoque emphasized that many small businesses on the island have made a considerable contribution to lowering unemployment rates, highlighting this as the core mission of MSMEs in society, empowering citizens and decreasing unemployment within the economy.
Many people believe that they have a business because they do business transactions, but they're actually self-employed. And part of what I do as a business coach and trainer is I try to get entrepreneurs to see it that way. If you cannot make money in your venture while you're at the hospital having a baby, it's not really a business. So within that base, locally, we have a lot of people in that part of the sector being self-employed and not necessarily having businesses. The role in age for now, a lot of us have now reduced the unemployment rate. So this sector definitely impacts on the economy of Dominica, the economy of any country. MSMEs grow, micro businesses go from self-employed to hiring other people. So that further increases the employment rate and increases production. It increases the country's production level. So definitely this sector plays a very big role in increasing the production of a country, and many do export, so increasing in foreign exchange, in increasing the export that countries actually do. So we definitely are important to economies.
Business resilient coach Jillian LaRoque. Dowasco has upgraded its water testing capabilities with a new lab facility launch, formerly based in Roseau's Baytown Wastewater Treatment Plant. The lab has relocated to Antrim for expansion and modernization. According to Kimani Saint-Jean, public relations officer of Dowasco, the lab's functions encompass guaranteeing the safety and adherence to prescribed norms of the company's water supply.
The Dominica Water and Sewage Company Limited, Dowasco, will bring improved efficiency to water testing with the launch of its laboratory facilities at a new location. The laboratory facility has moved from a small two-room building located at Dowasco's Baytown Wastewater Treatment Plant in Roseau, where it performed analysis of water quality parameters since 2003, to the company's Antrim site. The functions of the laboratory include ensuring the safety and conformity to established standards of the company's water supply by assessing the performance of water treatment, detecting of deterioration in quality, and correcting any deficiencies. The laboratory conducts bacteriological, chemical, and physical tests as part of a regular monitoring program of each water system.
Ms. Seja emphasized that the new lab facilities bring about greater testing capacity, enhanced productivity, and smoother workflow, adding that the upgraded equipment in the laboratory significantly improves the accuracy and speed of various tasks, ultimately boosting overall efficiency.
The scope of works include rehabilitating an existing building on site and constructing a new wing, resulting in rehabilitated wing serves as office space, while the new wing consists of separate biology and chemistry laboratories, a refrigeration room, an autoclave room, storage areas, and offices and workshop areas for lab staff. The amenities of the new lab foster increased testing capacity, additional productivity, and improvement in workflow. The increase in size allows for greater working comfort and staff safety, with space to accommodate additional lab staff. The new and updated equipment that is in place at the laboratory serves to improve the accuracy and speed with which various activities can be conducting, boosting overall efficiency. New modern lab equals $435,000 and the installation and commissioning of the new equipment as well as the related training of Dowasco staff was completed in November 2023. Construction activities commenced in 2019 and were completed in 2022 at a total cost of $1.3 million.
Public Relations Officer at Dowasco, Kimani Seja. This is Q95 News. According to a new World Economic Forum report released today, it shows how the global space economy could tackle many of the world's most pressing industry and societal challenges. The new research predicts that the sector's valuation could surge up to $1.8 trillion by 2035 and roughly rival the size and reach of the global semiconductor industry, with space technologies expected to become as ubiquitous to everyday life as semiconductors are today. The growth will largely be due to space-based and enabled technologies such as communications positioning, navigation and timing, and Earth observation services. The report, Space, the $1.8 trillion opportunity for global economic growth, developed in partnership with McKinsey and Company, finds that in an increasingly connected and mobile world, the space economy's impact will expand far beyond space itself, becoming more about connecting people and goods. While space activities such as space infrastructure and satellites, launch and exploration are predicted to also increase significantly relative to their levels today, this will be at a slower pace than space-enabled technologies and business on Earth. Open quote, space technologies are delivering greater value to a more diverse set of stakeholders than ever before, including in industries as varied as food and beverage, retail, consumer goods and lifestyle, supply chain and transportation, and even climate disaster mitigation, end quote, said Sebastian Buckup, member of the Executive Committee of the World Economic Forum. Open quote, as costs reduce and accessibility rises, these technologies could reshape whole industries and have as much impact on business and society as smartphones or cloud computing, end quote. The report focuses on four main findings as well. One, space will be a key part of the global economy by 2035. The growth of the space industry will largely be built upon the increased reach of space-based and/or enabled technologies such as communications, positioning, navigation and timing, and Earth observation. Two, space's impact will increasingly go beyond space itself. The share of the total space economy captured by incumbent space hardware and service providers will gradually decrease to the benefit of non-traditional players, such as ride-hailing apps, which would never have reached the global scale they have without satellite-based technology connecting drivers and riders and providing navigation services. Three, space will become more about connecting people and goods, supply chain and transportation, food and beverage, state-sponsored defense, retail, consumer goods and lifestyle, and digital communications industries will generate more than 60% of the increase in space economy by 2035. Nine other industries will create opportunities for traditional and non-traditional players alike. And four, space's return on investment will be more than financial. Beyond revenue generation, space will play an increasingly crucial role in mitigating world challenges, ranging from disaster warnings and climate monitoring to improved humanitarian response and more widespread prosperity. In other news, President of the Dominica Business Forum, Inc., provided insights into the organization, emphasizing its role as a platform to bolster representation and advocacy for the Dominican business community and related issues. He noted that since January 2019, following civil society protests for electoral reform, which led to confrontations with the police, deploying tear gas as a defense measure, the organization has been actively involved in advocating for reforms of the existing electoral legislation.
The Dominica Business Forum, Inc. was established in December 2012 through a memorandum of understanding signed by 10 private sector organizations for the following purpose: to establish a platform to strengthen the representation and articulation of the interests of Dominica business community and matters connected thereto, establish guidelines for collaboration between the parties in pursuing their respective mandates as the consolidated mechanism, institution, think tank, and voice of the private sector on matters of micro and macro importance to business and civil society, and to exist alongside the representative member associations. The Dominica Business Forum, Inc. is registered as a non-profit business organization under the Companies Act of the Commonwealth of Dominica. Since January 2019, in the aftermath of protest actions by civil society organizations for electoral reform, which resulted in confrontation with the police and the use of tear gas against protesters, the Dominica Business Forum, Inc. has been engaged in numerous activities towards securing the necessary changes to the existing electoral legislation in the Commonwealth of Dominica. Some of those initiatives include the formation of the Electoral Reform Group, which consisted of the private sector, trade unions, church and other civil society organizations, which prepared a comprehensive report with recommendations on electoral reform actions that were necessary prior to the 2019 elections, general elections.
Daryl Bob highlighted that the Business Forum collaborated with representatives from the OAS, CARICOM, and the Commonwealth Secretariat to seek a peaceful resolution in advocating for electoral reform. He emphasized that enhancing electoral legislation is a collective responsibility for all citizens of Dominica.
Subsequently, the DBF Inc. engaged representatives of the OAS, CARICOM, and Commonwealth Secretariat in pursuing an amicable result in the pursuance of electoral reform. Recognizing that improvements to the electoral legislation is the responsibility of every Dominican citizen and that it should be influenced to the advantage of any political parties in office or in opposition. When the Prime Minister of Dominica engaged Sudenis Byron to undertake the review of Dominica's electoral reform laws, the DBF Inc., though expressing concerns about the authority of the Prime Minister to initiate such a process instead of the duly instituted electoral commission, recognized the authority of the state and immediately engaged Sir Byron in numerous private consultations and in the only public consultations held with him during Sir Byron's consultancy. And most recently, after his report and draft legislation was submitted to the Prime Minister and to the opposition parties, the DBF Inc. extended invitations to all political parties, parliamentarians, the Attorney General, the members of the Electoral Commission, civil society organizations, and the public to participate in these consultations. Unfortunately, none of the state initiatives or institutions rather participated in these consultations. But this did not deter the DBF Inc. from engaging the public and those institutions who were interested in reviewing the draft legislation submitted by Sir Dennis Byron and arrived at some level of consensus on amendments to the draft legislation submitted.
That was President of the Dominica Business Forum, Inc., Mr. Daryl Bob. In a gesture of intra-regional cooperation, the Ministry and Department of Agriculture on Nevis has donated 28 plants to Anguilla for its Plant a Tree Day initiative on April 20th, 2024. Deputy Premier, the Honorable Eric Evelyn, Minister of Agriculture in the Nevis Island Administration, was at the Vance W. Amory International Airport on Monday, April 8th, when the shipment of plants left for Anguilla. The Deputy Premier said the department was delighted to make this contribution toward such an important and impactful initiative on a neighboring island. In other news, Vietnamese billionaire Miss Trong Mai Lan has been sentenced to death for $48 billion fraud in the most spectacular trial ever held in Vietnam and in one of the greatest bank frauds the world has ever seen. Behind the stately yellow portico of the colonial-era courthouse in Ho Chi Minh City, a 67-year-old Vietnamese property developer was sentenced to death on Thursday, that's today, for looting one of the country's largest banks over a period of 11 years. It's a rare verdict. She's one of the very few women in Vietnam to be sentenced to death for a white-collar crime. The decision is a reflection of the dizzying scale of the fraud. Trong Mai Lan was convicted of taking out $44 billion, that's 35 billion pongs, in loans from the Saigon Commercial Bank. The verdict requires her to return $27 billion, as some prosecutors said, may never be recovered. Some believe the death penalty is the court's way of trying to encourage her to return some of the missing billions.
The court's been giving enormous amounts of detail about this case through its 5 weeks. So everyone in Vietnam knows a lot about it. That's quite unusual there. They've wanted the public to know about this case. It is extraordinary. The amounts of money are absolutely staggering. We're talking about a significant chunk of Vietnam's GDP that this woman was able to siphon off over 11 years through these secretly channeled loans that went through a whole bunch of front companies and proxies to her own companies. The prosecutors believe that of that $44 billion, perhaps $27 billion may never be recovered. That is a staggering loss and will be very, very tough for the state bank to make up in terms of saving the bank. Really, the authorities have sort of blamed Trong Mai Lan and have talked about the way in which she was bribing officials and the kind of sophistication of this network. And really, it is part of an ongoing anti-corruption campaign that's been going for several years, led by the communist authorities, who say they're determined to stamp it out. But of course, it does raise a lot of questions, which is, how was it that this woman, she's very high profile, she's one of the biggest property owners in Vietnam, how was she able to do that for 11 years? And of course, officially, the authorities say, well, she was paying off this person and that and hiding this and that. But it is extraordinary that it went on for 11 years without being stopped. And I think those questions still hang over whether the Vietnamese authorities are capable of reining in this kind of fraud.
All right, that's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Retired Police Superintendent, ERC member, and United Workers Party General Secretary Nicholas George. He says electoral reform is the second most crucial legislation for governing a country and upholding democracy.
Right on cue.
In a gesture of intra-regional cooperation, the Ministry and Department of Agriculture on Nevis have donated 28 plants to Anguilla for its Plant a Tree initiative on April 20th, 2024.
Q, top of the hour.
And
as it,
Vietnamese billionaire Miss Trong Mai Lan has been sentenced to death for $44 billion fraud in the most spectacular trial ever held in Vietnam.
Right on.
And in one of the greatest bank frauds the world has ever seen. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. I've been your presenter, Richie Ferrall.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens.